You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class here at KGYM on this Tuesday, the final day of the month of March. We welcome you in, Scott Unash, here in our studios. Mark Dukes via the Skype from his home, the porch again on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Very good show coming up for you here today. We're going to be talking with Aaron Stecker, the athletic director at Cedar Rapids Kennedy High School. And we're going to talk about how the high school's athletics and whatnot are trying to work in our pandemic era right now and to stop the spread of the COVID-19 and the coronavirus. And we'll talk about that with Aaron, and we'll find out some information with him coming up here in just a little bit. We are, as always, presented here on the Gym Class by Hennings Financial. You can check them out at their website. We also encourage you to go to our website at kgymradio.com and find out what Hennings Financial here in Cedar Rapids is all about. They are your retirement rollover specialists, and they're based right here in town. Their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. And again, find out more by going to our website, kgymradio.com. We welcome everybody in here on the radio station, 1600 AM all over eastern Iowa. The brand new Gym OT, 107.5 FM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. You can also listen to us on our website at kgymradio.com. You can stream KGYM directly from your computer or tablet that way. You can get KGYM on your Amazon Echo or your Google Home speaker system. You can find out more information on this at kgymradio.com. You can also enable the skills on your Alexa at home. Many, many ways to bring us in on the Gym Class program as we close up shop here in the month of March, in a very strange month of March and a strange month of April coming up as well, as we continue to be vigilant in our fight against the spread of the coronavirus. And Mark, as I bring you in, first of all, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well.
Good. Good. Couple pieces of news to let you know about as far as the fight against the coronavirus spread is concerned. And that is the fact that, first of all, this is more on a national scope and an international scope. The city of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, has banned all public events until June the 30th. So if you put that together with everything that goes on in the city of Toronto, you're talking about no National Hockey League, no National Basketball Association, or no Major League Baseball, at least, unless something is going to change, at least until July 1st, or probably our nation's birthday in the 4th of July in that area anyway. So that just coming from north of the border from our Canadian friends here today. So this just keeps getting pushed back and back and further, Mark.
Yeah, I had just seen that as well. And I mean, if I suppose it's entirely possible if Major League Baseball decides to open things up before then that the Blue Jays could play elsewhere. But that's really, really, you know, that's as far out as I've seen aside from the Olympic Games in July and August. But sign of the times, Scott.
It is. It is. Governor Reynolds having her daily news conference today. A couple things coming out of there. And first of all, as far as the governor is concerned, I want to make sure I have this verbatim here. Governor Reynolds says, "We're asking a lot of Iowans. If everybody does their part, we can get through this sooner than later." And also let us know, via her news conference today that she is still not planning on shutting down the state and having a what other states are doing as far as curtailing period folks leaving as far as their homes and whatnot. And let's see, what else? Governor Reynolds asking parents to help kids to respect social distancing recommendations. Says people are getting the message. You can go outside to get exercise. But even outside, you must practice your social distancing and don't gather in groups. So there you go. And that's going to be harder as the weather gets nicer. It's another nice day around Eastern Iowa. Maybe not as nice as yesterday, Mark, but it is a nice day. And we'll talk with Aaron Stecker from Kennedy about this coming up. But if it is anticipated that the governor is going to say that the schools are going to stay closed for a little bit longer anyway, slated to take a look at this in the midpoint of the month of April. If these schools close some more, the weather is going to continue to get better. And you're going to have kids that are going to want to congregate. I mean, that's just... that's the nature of children, I think, and not going to be able to do that still with the social distancing.
No, it's a challenge for parents out there. There's no question about it. My daughter has two kids under the age of 10, and what do they want to do? They want to get out. First of all, they have a hard time understanding that they're not going to school. They're probably past that by now, but number two, nice day, want to go out with the neighbor kids and horse around. And, you know, there's a lot of education that the parents have to go through in these times. And then you have the older kids, maybe the teenagers out there, maybe involved in an activity that isn't going on right now. How do they stay in shape? What instruction are they getting from their coaches who cannot have face-to-face contact with those athletes right now? You know, that's some of the information we may get from Aaron Stecker coming up.
Yep, looking forward to talking with him in about 12 minutes or so at about 3:22 here this afternoon. Story nationally, as far as sports, we do have sports to talk about today. The National Football League. First and foremost, it is now official. The NFL is going to have two, we hope, this fall and winter, two more playoff teams getting into the fray with the possibility of winning the next Super Bowl, as the worst-kept secret in all of sports over the last week or so came to fruition today. There will be expanded playoffs. There will now be seven teams in each conference that are going to make the playoffs. Only one bye now, and it will be the number one seed getting the bye. Number two seed will play the number seven. Number three will play the number six, and the number four will host the number five. And those games will be played, three of them on Saturday, three of them on Sunday. Sounds like CBS and NBC will be your television homes for those games, the extra two games anyway.
Yeah, this is a matter of formality that it was negotiated with the collective bargaining agreement, as you know, Scott, that you know, it was recent. The owners had to pass it by 3/4 majority, and they did so today. I'm okay with it. You know, it's going to be a little bit different, but still, the NFL has fewer playoff teams percentage-wise than almost any other sport, baseball excluded. So fewer than the NBA, fewer than the NHL. And we know how the wild card teams have had a bit of success in the playoffs. Now, while a 9-7 team or 8-8 team necessarily have that same kind of success, you know, we shall see. And then on the horizon in 2021 is the expansion of the regular season to 17 games.
Right.
I would anticipate that probably going through as well.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I have no problem with it as far as the expanded playoffs are concerned. I'm not a big fan of the 17th game. That's just another game to get the possibility of a season-ending injury in there. And I think 16 is enough, but that's the way it's going to be from here on in. I think the 17th game is probably going to come in 2021, but we'll see how it all plays out. I don't want to see the NFL get beyond this, though. I think this is probably, you got to think this is, unless you see an expansion of the NFL and bringing in like 6 to 8 more teams or something over the next decade plus, I just don't see how you can expand the playoffs even more after this. I think this is the scope of as far as the NFL taking it, as far as bringing in teams. You don't want teams that are 6-10 and 7-9. And then we're talking about another subject that we've been talking about over the last 3 months or so, expansion of playoffs. And then, we don't need that.
Yeah, short of letting everybody in, you don't want the postseason to become diluted. And I think in the NBA in particular, I'm not all too familiar with the NHL, but I think those end up being very short series in the first round and mismatches and whatnot. And you don't want to see that in this case either. So I'm good with I don't see it expanding any more than that, unless there is the league expansion. Considering what's going on right now, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, I can't imagine that happening anytime soon. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, that is the First Federal Credit Union text line. Again, that number, 319-366-1600. Our thanks to First Federal Credit Union for stepping on board as our sponsor of our text line here at KGYM. After we went off the air yesterday, Mark, the anticipated ruling by the NCAA came down. Of course, so we talked yesterday with a couple representatives of the American Rivers Conference, Chuck Juergen and Dan Hammes. If you want to go back and listen to that, you can, and we encourage you to do so at KGYMradio.com on our podcast. After we went off the air, extra year of eligibility granted to spring sport athletes from this year that are going to miss their entire seasons this year. This was also expected by the NCAA, and it's very interesting because it brings up a lot of questions, and not only to senior athletes. I thought it was very interesting. Mike Colas today, our frequent guest here on the program, he wrote an article about the Iowa softball team and Coach Gillespie. The Iowa softball team, much like a lot of the spring sports, the non-revenue sports, if you will, if you have seniors in softball and in tennis, even golf to a certain percentage, more often than not, they're not going to go on as far as their athletic careers are concerned. And I believe it was 5 out of the 6 softball players have already made it pretty much known that they are not going to take advantage of this. And I think you're going to see this maybe with a higher percentage of student athletes in Division I not coming back than coming back. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because a lot of these athletes already have their future plans in place. They have jobs they need to go to. Starting off, whatever the case may be, July 1st or August 1st or whatever.
Yeah, more specifically, this applies only to this year's seniors. And that's part of the deal. But, you know, part of the issue, you know, the underclassmen lost a year as well. But that is not being addressed here. And I think my first reaction was, if I had a son or daughter in some of these sports at the Division I level, you know, I'd say, great. Especially if they don't have any job situation lined up. But here's the deal. In these spring sports, very few full scholarships are given. And say you're a baseball player at Iowa and you're on a half scholarship and you're a senior and you want to come back, maybe you underperformed last year. Well, the coach has an option to give you the equivalent of what you were getting this year or less. You might end up being a walk-on based on that, because you have incoming recruits. How are those people going to feel? You know, Iowa might have a senior shortstop and recruited a shortstop, and with the intention of that player coming in and producing next season, getting into the starting lineup. What does that recruit think now? And now you're paying two different athletes, and there's a lot of moving parts here. And, you know, colleges are going to face a revenue crunch here if they haven't already. And now you're adding more scholarships into the mix, although it's not a tremendous number. But, you know, there's a lot of things to think about in this regard. But nevertheless, the NCAA went ahead and granted that next year. I think it was probably the right thing to do, but it's not without some challenges.
Right, and the biggest piece of this is something that no one can see in that crystal ball. It's a very foggy crystal ball that Mark and I have been talking about, and quite frankly, that's college football. And I know Brett McMurphy from The Athletic was on Paul Feinbaum earlier on today saying that athletic directors that he has talked to are willing to even put off football for as long as they can, as long as it is played. That is how much that the revenue coming in from college football needs to be there on the books to help out, especially when a lot of these, even Power 5 league schools, are missing out as far as all the revenue coming in from March Madness and from conference television contracts and things like that. It almost sounds as though the show must go on, but we don't know when the show is going to go on. And as far as the world of college football is concerned, and I think we're going to be hearing that particular story more and more as it even gets closer. We all love to have college football starting in the early September. Quite frankly, I don't know if it's going to start in early September. That remains to be seen out there, but according to Brett McMurphy anyway, and he's a pretty good source, talking with other ADs, that football is going to happen. It might be in January. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, nobody does know, and we've been saying this for 3-4 weeks now. Nobody does know, but it gets the wheels turning in a lot of heads as to what might happen. And as you know, Scott, college football is a game changer in terms of athletic department budgets. If that season is not held, I mean, the whole landscape of college athletic departments change because college football does so much for the other sports. And I would imagine it's fairly true at the high school level as well. We'll talk to Aaron Stecker about that. But
true.
Again, we're, you know, I don't know what the drop dead date is for, you know, making a decision on football. Certainly has to be, you know, when practices start, if not before, and that comes in August, I think, doesn't it? Maybe late July, depending on the way the calendar falls. So a lot of speculation out there.
A lot of speculation out there. We'll talk with Aaron Stecker about how it comes down as far as the high schools are concerned. We're going to do that in just a couple of minutes here. Also, after we talk with Aaron, we'll kick this around a little bit. Andy Katz, of course, one of the top folks when it comes to the world of college basketball, has a terrific podcast, and his guest was Luca Garza in his latest podcast. And Luca didn't say he is coming back, but he hinted around to the fact that he is definitely leaning toward coming back next year. Made it abundantly clear during that podcast that if everyone comes back, we could have a team. This is paraphrasing Luca Garza, by the way. Could have a team that could not only challenge for a conference championship, but also things beyond that. And then Andy Katz kind of hinted, what do you mean? You mean if everybody comes back? And he says, yeah, if everybody comes back. So he hasn't come out and said yet that he is coming back for sure. But I think that the more and more you read between the lines, sounds like Luca Garza is probably leaning on being back for his senior year. We hope next year in college basketball.
Yeah, it was. That's an interesting little exchange there between the two. And I think even before, and you know this better because you've spent some time around Frank Garza, his dad, and spoken with him. And even before the postseason was canceled, I think there was a pretty good chance of Garza coming back.
True.
Now, this was before he piled up a bushel basket full of awards. But awards are just that, you know. It's not competing in the Big Ten and NCAA tournaments. It's not having a chance to win a conference championship. So I guess we'll await official announcement on that.
Yes, we will. And the announcements continue to come in, maybe not as flowing in as they usually do in a quote-unquote normal year as far as underclassmen making their intentions known. Isaiah Livers yesterday of Michigan saying he's going to go through the process as far as the draft is concerned. Some others as well. Of course, Tyrese Halliburton has also already said he is going to go into the NBA draft. All right, 3:24. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to see how everything going on right now in the prevention of the spread of the coronavirus. We know there are no high school sporting events going on right now. We know there are no practices going on right now, and we're going to talk about how that is affecting things at that level, and we're going to do that with Aaron Stecker, the Activities Director at Kennedy High School here in Cedar Rapids, and we're going to do that when we come back. It is the Gym Class here for a Tuesday on KGYM, presented by Henning's Financial. And if you're looking for great food tonight to pick up curbside, carry out, delivery, what have you, drop off. And we've got a very good list at our website at kgymradio.com. Just take a look at that and get your taste buds activated for tonight. Go to kgymradio.com. We'll take a break, come back, and talk with Aaron Stecker after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Henning's Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Henning's Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. Henningsfinancial.com.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Spring leaf vacuum collection starts April 6th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Here's important information from the Iowa Department of Public Health. COVID-19 is spreading in Iowa. More Iowans will become ill. Most will have only mild or moderate illness. These people may not need to be tested. If you need to see a medical provider, call first. Don't just walk into the clinic. All ill Iowans should stay isolated at home until they don't have a fever for at least 3 days. Their cough or shortness of breath have improved, and it's been at least 7 days since symptoms started. Questions? Call the COVID-19 info line at 211. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
On KGYM, you've got sports and the Gym Class. On Smart FM, you've got class, music class. Our Smart Rock professors will teach you all there is to know about Smart Rock. Tunes you know and love, live tracks and B-sides, and great songs you just plain old forgot about. With a library spanning multiple decades, our professors dig deep. This isn't your typical classic rock station. This is Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
We are back at 3:28 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. And we are presented by Hennings Financial. Check them out online. More information at KGYMradio.com. We mentioned Brett McMurphy from The Athletic a little bit earlier on, talking about the fact that at least as far well, Brett McMurphy of the stadium saying that he's talked to some ADs and football is going to happen someday. If it doesn't happen on time, it will happen. He just tweeted out that Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott saying that the end of May is approximately the deadline for determining the direction of preseason and college football regular season. The optimistic model has an elongated training camp and on-time start. The most pessimistic has no season at all, at least in the regular scope of things. So that coming out here just a couple of minutes ago. We are right now in the midst, of course, no schools here in the state of Iowa to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 and the coronavirus. And with that, no extracurricular activities as far as high schools are concerned. And Mark and I wanted to bring in one of the ADs from town and talk about how things are progressing and just give us kind of the background of what is going on in their world. And we bring in Aaron Stecker, the activities director at Cedar Rapids Kennedy here in town. And I hate to say it, Aaron, but it would be a really nice night for a track meet. And I know there was going to be track meets around the Eastern Iowa tonight, wouldn't it?
There would have been quite a few going on tonight. You know, I was talking with a few ADs last night, and one of them I was speaking with, his home meet would have been last night. And we talked, you know, you could have that meet 10 years in a row and never have weather like you would have had last night. So it's unfortunate we're missing out on some opportunities of some great weather here for some early spring sports.
No doubt. No doubt. And well, obviously we have no school. We have no activities going on right now. You put on top of that the fact that coaches are not allowed to have face-to-face contact, obviously, with the student-athletes. And there are a lot of things right now in the hopper for not only yourself, but the coaches, your staff, just everything out there.
Yeah, it's, I tell you, Scott, and it's just been it's been hard to just get used to the idea that we just don't really pace anything right now. The springtime, this early spring, is really one of the more high-paced times of the year, of the school year, with seven sports going on and amping up for the end of the school year, and to kind of be sitting back and twiddling our thumbs right now trying to find things to do and occupy our time is just not what coaches and athletic administrators are used to this time of the year, let alone the student-athletes.
Aaron, it was just about 2 weeks ago the state association announced that spring sports were going to be suspended. There hasn't been any further announcements, at least that I know of, since then. What's the next announcement that you anticipate?
I'm anticipating that we'll get some more information from the governor's office, more direction from the governor's office, the end of this week. I think with President Trump's extension of the social distancing and mitigation practices through the end of April, I think most of us are anticipating that April 13th is in jeopardy in terms of a return time. So I think we're looking for more guidance and direction on that towards the end of the week from the governor. We've had a few meetings, you know, Zoom meetings. Boy, they're, by the end of this whole thing, people are going to hear Zoom meeting and go running. it seems like that's all we're on anymore. But had a couple nice meetings this week that included Tom Keating with the Boys Association and Gene Berger with the Girls Union. And they're certainly put a lot of time and energy into thinking about a lot of what-if scenarios. If we can come back on April 13th, what if it's May 1st? What if it's May 15th? So I think the end of the week, we'll get an idea of what's next. And then we'll just have to adjust and adapt from there.
Well, and I was going to have you comment about that. You, as well as the other 15 athletic directors from the Mississippi Valley Conference Schools, met with Tom and met with Gene yesterday. And there's so many scenarios to go over. And like Mark and I have been talking about, no one has a crystal ball to see exactly how this is all going to play out anyway. But I know you went over several scenarios, and it's different than the college scenario because they're talking about adding an extra year if an athlete would like it. We don't have that luxury as far as high schools are concerned. A lot of people are missing out on an entire year, junior year or senior year. They're both very, very big. And I think spring sports could still happen in some shortened form, but that's probably not going to happen, like you said, until May now.
No, I think that would be a best case scenario. Meeting with them, they did talk about just options. If we could come back early May with sports and start with practices, I think most sports in the spring, the tennis and track and golf, probably could get going with competitions right away in early May. Soccer would probably need a week to get organized and split teams out and things like that. But what that season would look like would be very contingent upon the championship venues, you know, Drake Stadium and County Sports Complex there in Des Moines, and the various golf courses and tennis complexes. You know, are they available if we want to extend the championship series into June? I will say this, both the Boys Association and Girls Union, along with the ADs across the state, are very open to being creative. Being creative and thinking outside the box to, if we know we've got a 4-week window or a 5-week window or a 6-week window for spring sports, how do we make it the best experience we can? Because Scott, as you mentioned, it just, I feel for these seniors in particular, this has been a season they've been gearing up for an awfully long time and worked very hard to get themselves ready for. And to see that withering away in front of their eyes has been very painful for those who love co-curricular activities and their families. So we're very open to making it work. You know, 4, 5, 6 soccer games and then start postseason, 4 or 5 track meets and then do the state qualifiers. Whatever we can do to get a season in. Unfortunately, this is all contingent upon can we get back to face-to-face school. With it being educational athletics, the education part has come first. So if we can get back to schools, and then we can get creative with spring and summer sports and make something happen for our kids.
Along the lines of being creative, Aaron, is extending the spring seasons into June an option, or is that just not on the table?
It's absolutely on the table. If places like Drake and the county sports complex for soccer and such are not available, been in several conversations with ADs across the state saying, hey, let's think outside the box and let's find different venues. I go back to like the baseball model from several years back when the state tournament was split into two sites. You had, Carroll and Marshalltown, each with 2 classes of baseball state tournaments. Well, if Drake Stadium is not a possibility for a state track meet in June because it's booked up or unavailable for some reason, then what about a Kingston Stadium or a Dalzell Field or a Linmar Stadium on the eastern half of the state, and Waukee or someplace like that on the western half of the state, and just split your classes up. So those are the kinds of things, getting creative and thinking outside the box. You heard you talking about the college football season there, Scott. Maybe it doesn't happen right away in August. Maybe it's postponed, or maybe it starts earlier. I've heard everything from starting in July to starting in January. I think we'll have to get used to the idea that sports for the next year aren't going to be the way we're used to. And I think we're using that as a model with the high schools. I don't think our spring and summer sports are going to be what we're used to seeing. How can we make them the best experience for our kids as we possibly can?
Aaron Stecker joining us here at 3:36, the activities director over at Kennedy High Schools. We talk about how the high schools are adapting as far as stopping the spread of the coronavirus here. And if you start talking about June and you start to maybe not so much at the 4A level and the 3A level, but you get to the 1As and the 2As, and then you got to start thinking about the sharing of the athletes, because a lot of athletes, for example, run track, they play baseball or softball or whatever the case may be, and then that gives you guys and gals a little bit more of a headache, because you got to deal with schedules like that too.
We do, and I think if you would see, Mark, as you talked about, if the spring sports championship series would get pushed into June, I think you'd also then see an adjustment to the front end of the baseball softball seasons. That would be my guess, since what's been talked about, to try to simulate the same overlap that we see in May. Baseball and softball typically start their practices first week of May and competitions mid to late May. And there's about a 3-week overlap of spring sports and the start of the summer sports, maybe 3 to 4 weeks. And I think they try to mirror that, where maybe baseball and softball may not start till the front end of June, and they'd have a shorter season to do just what you're talking about there, Scott, so that we all of a sudden aren't putting a kid who's a traditional, you know, soccer, softball kid or a track baseball kid in a position they have to pick one or the other. But can we adjust both the spring seasons and the sport and the summer seasons so that those kids get that same experience that they're used to getting? So, like I said, all that stuff is on the table if we can get back to school face-to-face with kids.
You know, Aaron, I'm sure that even football coaches, volleyball coaches, and their athletes are having a little anxiety as well, not knowing the extent to which this virus is going to take us and when it ends and when we can get back to normality. As far as the high school, so we talked a little bit about the college season, if that did not take place. What would happen if football goes out the window? That's a big part of your budget, isn't it?
Ooh, it is. It's for a lot of us. It drives a lot of those non-revenue sports and makes them possible. Plus, they're just such can you imagine starting a fall school year without your fall sports? I mean, they just kick your year off and get that energy and enthusiasm for your school and your community going. It's hard to imagine that, so I'm trying to keep that on the back burner as far as I can. But Mark, you're right. I've had several conversations with our fall coaches, and they're asking the same questions. Are we going to be able to start on time in the fall? And the answer is, I guess right now we don't know. You know, there's talk about a secondary spike once we get to fall and, you know, what's that going to look like? So they're nervous about it, but at the same time, you know, we talk to our kids all the time about controlling what you can control. And right now that's something for our coaches that so far out there that we think about it, but I think my coaches are more focused right now on how can we help our kids, and they're doing a great job of communicating with their kids, having Zoom meetings, reaching out via text messaging or social media, just trying to engage kids and make sure that our student athletes know, hey, you may not be able to put our jersey on and wear a Kennedy across your chest right now and do great things with your teammates on the field, but we care about you and we miss you and we want the best for you, and we're trying to reach out. Because that's what we can control right now. We can still have contact with kids, still try to be there for our kids and make sure they know we care. And so that's really what we're spending a lot of time focusing on right now is our own personal development, and then how can we help our kids stay engaged and stay positive moving forward.
Yeah, and you talked about that and some of the things that I know you guys are doing at Kennedy. You've talked to other athletic directors around the conference and around Eastern Iowa and around the state that you know and what they're doing just to try to keep everybody's spirits up at this point. And I think so far so good anyway, but, you know, we're only about 2.5-3 weeks into this venture.
Yeah, that started to hit me this week. I don't know how you guys felt, but the last few weeks have it's kind of been just kind of a daze. It hasn't hit and sunk in, but boy, this week it's getting heavy this week, and so that's why we're reaching out. I've seen some really cool things out there, just cool things that kids are doing in terms of engaging with the community. Our students are reaching out to us saying, hey, how can we help? Can we help with meal distributions to elementary kids and things like that. They're trying to find ways to stay engaged and stay positive and do some cool things. The videos our coaches are doing, but I'm seeing those across the state as well. They're just trying to get positive messages out every day to students and to our communities. Just give them, you know, nuggets of positivity, or optimism, or strength to help you get through your day. Because it's getting heavier, Scott, as you say. We're in about week two, and there might be 4 more weeks of this yet. So, how do we keep our community together? How do we keep our community focused on getting better as a community and connecting? I think that's a big word I've heard used a lot, and try to focus on it. How do we stay connected through all of this?
You know, Aaron, I'm curious. Activities directors rarely have a day off during the year. I know how hard you guys work and how time-consuming it is. And not that you're not working right now, but I was talking to Chris Deem, your colleague at Jefferson, last Friday, and just asking him what it's been like. And his response was, you know, this started during what normally would have been spring break. And maybe, you know, you and your family would have taken a little trip or whatever. But It is quite different, isn't it?
It is. The days are very different. I mentioned the pace earlier. It's hard to get used to not hitting the ground running in the morning with, what's the weather going to be like today? Can we play soccer? Can we run track? Are we going to be indoor practices today or outdoor practices today? That's just what springtime brings, and it's a very harried pace for us as ADs. So to kind of have time to have a cup of coffee and have some breakfast and get a workout in, muddle through email rather than trying to rush and what do I have to do right now versus what can I wait till later to do. It's just it's different than we're used to. At the same time, I think I'm safe in saying this. The overwhelming majority of ADs I've spoken with, interacted with, and this is at the local level, state level, even national level. It's been really cool. There's been actually a national AD weekly 90-minute meeting. It's been on Wednesdays. It's just cool. We had 100 plus ADs nationally on last Wednesday. We'll have even more here tomorrow morning. Just sharing ideas. How are you going to honor your seniors if you can't have a senior night? What are you going to do for graduation? How are you helping your coaches check in? So we're finding ways as ADs for professional development and maybe some reflection time and re-energizing time that is hard to find time for under normal circumstances. And I think we're taking advantage of that.
Yeah. Jeanette hasn't gotten tired of you yet, right?
Oh, well, I'm not going to comment on that. We're doing all right right now, but social distancing is a good thing for us from time to time. I think keeps us saying, no, we're doing great. She's doing a great job. But, those elementary teachers and just teachers in general, the things they're doing to provide opportunities for students to remain engaged in school so that when we come back, we can hit the ground running versus feeling like it's first day of school all over again has been a lot of fun to see her doing on her end, reading oral stories and recording those and posting those for her kids to read and different things like that. So all the educators are trying to be creative and unique and different. With any crisis, there's always seed for growth. And I think we'll see a lot of cool things, a lot of new strategies to engage with the community and our students as coaches and teachers will come from this that'll benefit us long after this thing is over.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you, we were talking to Chuck Yerrigan yesterday at the American Rivers Conference and Dan Hammes, and Chuck, I think, made the comment that sports, in terms of pre- and post-game handshakes and a variety of different things, it may take on a whole different complexion. And I suppose that would be true at the high school level.
I think absolutely, Mark. Until we've got this thing figured out, there's all these short-term look at it, but then when you start thinking scientifically of, okay, how far away are we from approved treatments that'll minimize the effects should you get infected with the coronavirus, and then pass that a vaccine or that we can take the current get our current flu shots. Until those types of things are in place, I think exactly what you're talking about there. Those will have to come in play at the high school level of what do we do to make sure that we once we're back to whatever normal is when we return from this to make sure that we are being smart about what we do things and how we do things so that we minimize any reinfection possibilities.
True.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to be taken a look at as well. And gosh, you've been talking 20 minutes and we haven't mentioned the word football playoffs yet. So I guess we're gaining. You got your schedules out as we look ahead to the fall. And kudos to you and Tanya and Dave over at Linmar. Your guys are going to open with a Saturday game at Kingston. Now, I think I read this that it will be a night game. Mark and I had the dream it was going to be a 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon kickoff at Kingston Stadium. But
yeah, I thought about that. I thought about you media folks thinking, but we're starting at 6 o'clock for you.
Okay,
so we'll go a little earlier. So that maybe that'll help you guys get home earlier and beat those deadlines for the newsprint folks. But hey, I tell you what, I am so excited about that. When the schedules came out and I saw we opened Linmar. And I saw opposite of that was the Wash-Jeff game. So I knew the Wash-Jeff game would be on Friday. And I went back a few years. It was actually the first year when Kingston opened up with turf. I don't know, what was that, 09, 10? You probably know better than I can remember.
I think it was
that.
10, yeah.
Yeah.
No, 9. It was 9. It was 9.
Yeah, I think it was 09, yep. We were supposed to play at Linn Mar that year, and we had had some heavy rains in August in Armstrong Field. They were still playing down there, and Armstrong Field was flooded. And we were unable to play that game at Linn Mar on Friday night, and Kingston was being used by one of the other schools here in town. And I remember Scott Mamons and I got to talk and thought, well, there's no college games going on right now. Let's play on Saturday. And so we shifted that to Kingston on a Saturday night, and to date, in my time as an AD, that's the largest crowd and gate we've had at Kingston in my time as an AD. So as soon as I saw that, I thought, man, let's recreate that again. It was a lot of fun, a lot of energy. I mean, you're the only show in town for a lot of folks. And so I'm excited that that worked out. Dave and I could get that figured out, and our football coaches are excited as well.
Yep, that'll be
what's going to happen on that September 18th date, Aaron? Do you anticipate? I think some games have already been moved to a Thursday, but of course that's when Iowa plays Minnesota on the Big Ten Network. What do you anticipate Thursday games, Saturday games, or some just keeping it as is?
I think you'll see, I think probably split between Thursdays and staying on Friday. I think you get to that time of year, you start shifting to a Saturday, and you are still competing with all the other college football games that are going on, and that gets difficult. So I think if people won't stay on the Friday night, I think they'll shift to Thursday. And I probably would guess about a 50-50 split on that. It's unfortunate. I get it. That's a big revenue deal for them on getting on TV, and the more you can be on it, the more money you make. But Friday night's a high school gig, and I know I've heard you guys talking about that a lot as well. I wish it wasn't that way, but Mark, I think you'll see a lot will move to Thursday. You do that for the kids. You don't want to have your kids playing in front of an empty stadium on Friday night because people are home watching the game.
Yeah. I would agree, and I think we're going to see that more and more coming up.
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, appreciate the insight. Thanks a whole bunch, and we hope we're talking about games here sooner than later, and we'll just take it one day at a time like everybody else is, right?
Yeah, you and me both. Like, neither one of us are wired this way, I don't think. We like to be in gyms and watching kids compete. So hopefully we're back to that sooner than later.
All right. Hey, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.
All right. Aaron Stecker, the activities director at Kennedy High School here in Cedar Rapids, talking about how the high schools are dealing with stopping the spread of the coronavirus and just everything that goes along with that. Going to take a break, come back, and have more of the gym class on this Tuesday at 3:51. Back with more after this, KGYM.
In life, we come to expect certain things. Light bulbs light and tigers roar. But what if we came to expect something more? At Honda, that's just what we do. And it's led us to the Honda Accord LX. With more standard torque and passenger volume than a Toyota Camry. Hurry in to your local Honda dealer and test drive the Honda Accord today to see what expecting more gets you.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
Based on comparably equipped models.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Introducing a new podcast, ESPN Daily, hosted by me, Mina Kimes. When you want to go beyond your feed, when you want to get inside the score, when you want to get behind the highlight, there's ESPN Daily. Go deeper into the stories of the moment. Get the exclusive access and insider perspective that only ESPN can give you. The best sports story all day, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week. ESPN Daily. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now imagine an addition on that addition. Whoa. That's the feeling with Capital One. where a new savings account earns an interest rate 5 times the national average. That's right, 5 times, as represented by 5 times more singers. This is Banking Reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. Gym class coming up on 3:54 for a Tuesday here on KGYM. Our thanks to Aaron Stecker for joining us and talking about how the high schools are dealing with the lack of games and no school and et cetera. Tomorrow, Landon Castle will join us from NASCAR, and we will talk about, we're going to break down e-racing and i-racing. And other letter racing coming up tomorrow on the program. I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a lot of fun talking with Landon just to see how things are progressing in his neck of the woods down in Charlotte. I know Landon is working very hard on securing a ride once everything gets back to a sense of normalcy as far as NASCAR is concerned. And we'll just see what is on the horizon for Landon and how much fun he's having racing on television with the iRacing model and the virtual racing. So that'll be coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to that. It already was a different year for him without a ride in the big series. I think he's scheduled to race Xfinity most of the year, if not all. But we'll check in with the Cedar Rapids native and see what's up.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up tomorrow. Also, Kirk Ferentz is going to have a teleconference tomorrow. That has been announced by the University of Iowa. I think a 1:30 teleconference coming up tomorrow. And, of course, no spring football for Iowa. No spring football basically for everybody as far as the country is concerned as we all continue to fight the spread of the coronavirus. Speaking of that, tonight, I want to let you know a programming note at 6 o'clock this evening, and that will include our stations here on KGYM. We're going to have a town hall meeting that was actually recorded, I believe, late last week or over the weekend that took place in Dallas, Texas. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks and a prominent businessman around America, will be talking about how businesses and just everyone coping with the coronavirus, of course, and more. That'll be tonight and tomorrow night. We'll replay it again tomorrow night. That will be from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock on all of our platforms of KGYM coming up this evening. Again, that will get underway at 6 o'clock. And our friend Brian Estridge, the play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, is one of the two co-hosts of that particular event. So you're seeing, again, sports and real life, for lack of a better word, Mark, coexist with one another right now.
Yeah, that should be interesting. And looking towards the weekend, you know, this would be Final Four weekend, would it not?
Yes, it would.
But we're going to have some programming of past games.
Yeah, we are. And it will be on Saturday, another doubleheader starting at 11 o'clock. And see if I can find that real quick here. I know it'll be a doubleheader on Saturday at 11 o'clock, and then it will be a single game. They're going to replay last year's national championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech on Monday night at 7 o'clock, which would have been national championship night. So you can go to kgymradio.com, probably faster than I can right now, and get everything there. And it will be broadcast, as I mentioned, at 11. All right. Mark, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
All right. Todd coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control.